meeting of science and mythology. Over the past decades, the subject of archaeology and history have been literally revolutionized by modern technology, placing the field of history much closer to the natural sciences than only a decade ago. Thus, we have seen many new discoveries that are indeed interesting, some quite astonishing, some simply incredible, and some completely mind-boggling. The most astounding news in the field of modern historical research is without comparison the discovery of an ancient history and mythology revealed in Finland at the Swedish Institute of Folklore and Storytelling in Helsinki for first time in the years of 1984-85. This historical saga contained a huge but scientific and common sense body of information about a small tribe of people called the Asir who became trapped in the Baltic area during ice time. According to this old saga, taped by the Institute in 1984-1985, the Asir people survived in the area of southern Finland during eons of time, developing the characteristics of Arctic man, today called Caucasian. In order to survive, they had to keep animals domestically, drinking their milk and eating their flesh to endure the 6 to 7 month-long winters. Thus, we can explain why Caucasians have less pigmentation, as a special adaptation to the dark and cold climate. Simultaneously, we find an explanation for the Caucasians' affinity for meat and animal fat, as well as their digestive system's adaptation to dairy and milk protein. 18 years ago, when this saga of the Bockström family finally was revealed, there wasn't a soul within the scientific community who would label it anything but fantasies and hallucinations. And of course, who could believe that the heartland of the Atlantean and the Caucasian culture was the same as the Asir and the Vanir of Odin Votan is told by the Old Norse sagas? And who would believe that the heartland of these Arctic people was placed in the land of Finland, as described in the Finnish Karelian language and the mythology of Kalevala? Even if the Kalevala is the world's most complex and extensive body of mythological information with more than 1 million points of factual character, it was impossible to even think that it had originated in Finland itself. Even though Bockström was an old and highly respected Finnish family, it became a matter of prestige for the official academia to contradict and even ridicule the information given by the spokesman of the saga, Mr. Eobok. This old oral storytelling tradition presented statements that went far beyond the official history of Finland, which considered Finnish culture before 1200 AD to be the most remote and primitive in all Europe. According to the Bock saga as told in 1985, the predecessors of the Asir were living in Finland already before ice time. The saga of the ring. The saga even tells how once upon a time the earth tilted, resulting in a huge mass of water turning into damp. The damp became concentrated around the magnetic poles, causing it to condense and turn into ice. While this happened within the time frame of months, it wasn't possible to escape the enormous ice cap that eventually covered the whole of the Arctic world, all the way south to the Pyrenees, Alps, Caucasian and Himalayan mountains, as well as along the Rockies in North America. During and after this deluge, a small group of people living in the Baltic area was able to survive inside the limited area of the Gulf of Vinland, Land of the Vine, also written Finland. The Gulf Stream arrived from Mexico to Biscay, pressed through the English Channel, and then it accelerated into the Oslo Fjord area before turning east. It spiraled into the East Sea and curled up in the Botnick Bay and Gulf of Finland, where it escaped over the Karelian waterways into the White Sea. The heat of the Gulf Stream through these waters made it possible to survive in the Finnish archipelago inside a strictly limited area, while all the surrounding land was completely covered by massive ice. During the following eons of time, the Asir were able to adapt, survive and develop a completely new way of life based on an extensive use of fire, wooden houses, fishing and domestication of animals, as well as the extraction of minerals to create more effective tools and objects of aesthetic and culture value. Over hundreds and thousands of years, the Gulf Stream paved a passageway along the coastline of Norway, resulting in a collapse in the ice cap between Norway and Greenland some 10,000 years ago. Consequently, the remaining ice cap over Fennoscandia started to move, sliding downwards to the oceans on both sides. The Asir survived this cataclysm also, this time by fleeing to Gotland. According to recent geology, Gotland and the Channel Islands are the only areas north of the Alps which have never been covered with ice. After 3 centuries in isolation on Gotland, the first scouting ISIR could start checking out the surrounding land masses that were uncovered when the ice masses were gone. In the next 7 centuries, between 9,700 and 9,000 years ago, offspring of the ISIR family, called Goths, started inhabiting the land south and west of Gotland. During this period, representatives of the ISIR kings sailed out to reconnect to the tropical kingdoms, telling the tale of survival during the period when all their land had been covered by ice, Altlandis. This enormous area was once again minus 9,700 years ago, open land being discovered by the offspring of the ISIR. Thus we can follow the Arctic nature which started to develop during ice time and covers this same area still today. In the same area we find traditionally the Caucasian man and his Arctic culture. The same traces can be seen in the language of this area, where the nomenclature still shows how all of this area was populated by the descendants of Gotland people, who still call their county or country by the word land: England, Holland, Balland, Saxland, Palland Poland, Frankland France, Deutschland Germany, Svealand Sweden, Finland, Estland, Lettland, Ruland Russia, etc. By the year 9000 AD, the ISIR family went back to the old land of Odin, where they rebuilt the city of Hellhole and established the land of the vine, as we see in today's Finland, with the capital Helsinki inside the county of Uudenmaa. Since then, the three offspring were permanently established. From the three sons of Odin came Dan, who established the kingdom of Denmark, the Mark of Dan, Denmark; Sven, who established the kingdom of Svealand, Sweden; and Balder, who established Rusland, the land of roses, Finland and Russia. Thus we still find the old Nordic emblem called Three Crowns, as it still can be seen in the national emblem of Sweden. Eeyore Bock. Since this incredible source of historic information was revealed in Helsinki in 1984/85, several completely new and surprising discoveries have occurred, which bring astonishing but scientific evidence to some of the crucial statements given by the Bock saga. Since none of this was either known or even considered possible within the scientific community before 1995, the following findings bring a strong bearing on the validity of the historical significance and value of the saga. 1. The Pekora Project. After the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, a number of European governments funded cross-cultural and scientific projects that could stimulate the East-West connection specifically. In 1993, the University of Bergen, Norway, was granted a large sum to develop an archaeological project on the country's northernmost area, Finnmark, where the very oldest site of Stone Age settlements in Norway is found, carbonated to 9,900 BP. By 1991, the new co-op project was extending into the ancient cross-cultural area of the Kola Peninsula, where they discovered traces of aprocs. 30 to 35,000-year-old traces of the first Arctic civilization. Later, during the course of 1993-98, the Pekora Project, a research group constituted of archaeologists, geologists and paleontologists from the universities of Bergen, Petersburg and Moscow, made a series of astounding discoveries. East of Arkhangelsk by the Pekora Basin, east of the White Sea, they found settlements covering the coastline of northern Russia over a distance stretching more than 1,000 kilometers thick. To the east-northeast, the various settlements have different ages, ranging from 10,700 BP up to 40,000 BP. According to the senior archaeologist Professor Indlid from the University of Bergen, there is no substantial doubt as to what kind of culture the old house foundations, stone tools, prey and other traces represent. These are obviously traces of the Homo sapiens preceding the later Stone Age cultures, well known from both Fennoscandia and Russia. The Pekora report was recently referenced in the British scientific journal Nature. The consequence is that the present thesis concerning the spread of modern man from Africa to Europe, expected to have happened about 40 to 50,000 years ago, must be thoroughly reconsidered, since there is no explanation as to how a tropical Homo sapiens could adapt to this extreme Arctic climate in a few generations. Information Professor S. Indlid. The Pekora Project, University of Bergen, Norway. Article Nature, September 6, 2001. 2. The Wolf Cave discovery. In 1995, a Finnish truck driver, Mr. Kalervo Zitalo, made an incredible discovery when he was given the chance to excavate an old natural cave close to his home outside the city of Kristinestad on the northwest coast of Finland. Under 1.8 meters of earth and sand, he found a thick layer of ash, obviously from a prehistoric fireplace. The fireplace was placed just at the entrance of the cave, and after Zitalo informed the senior geologist of the Finnish Geological Society, Mr. Heikki Hervas, the latter soon established that Zitalo's old Sisuala Wolf Cave, though once abandoned for further investigation by the National Board of Archaeologists, actually contained evidence of old human settlement, more than 70,000 years old, said Mr. Hervas. Consequently, by 1996, the Finnish Board of Antiquities had to begin closer investigations into the cave. And at the end of the summer, it was clear that the self-educated truck driver was no local fool or dilettante after all. There were even older traces inside the cave. By 1998, the official report published by a team of Finnish experts confirmed that there had been people living, cooking and tool making inside the cave more than 125,000 years BP. Since then, more experts from all Nordic countries have been joining in the excavations, as well as the investigations and testing of the growing amount of material from the cave. But this summer it was published that the hitherto oldest fireplace found in the cave is more than 300,000 years old. According to the geological stratigrapher, the deepest layers of sediment within the cave are about 430,000 to 450,000 years old. But this is still to be confirmed by thermochemical tests. Further information: www.nba.fi weblink. Choose English text and archaeological research. 3. Caucasian discoveries. As these two facts shed new light on the history of the Arctic man as well as the modern man, which may be the same, it is obvious that the 9,200-year-old Caucasoid found at Kenwick in the mid-90s would have been arriving from the Baltic Carolian area. A similar discovery was made in 1996 on the island of Hitra off the west coast of Norway, where a 9,200-year-old settlement was excavated. This proves that the first inhabitants of Norway were already constructing, building and using boats which were large and steady enough to sail over oceans. Moreover, the place had been permanently in use for about 7,000 years. See Hitra 1996-97. University of Trondheim, Department of Archaeology, Norway 1997. Since the above-mentioned cultures, which must have had some common origin, were disappearing around 10,700 BP, only to reappear around 9,900 BP in the far north of Norway, it seems that the great ice cap which once covered Fennoscandia and Russia had been sweeping away the land for both of these populations during the end of the Ice Age. 10,800 BP, the ice cap between Norway and Greenland split apart, resulting in widespread destabilization of the ice mass of the Scandinavian inland, causing it to split into two sections and slide to the lowland and the oceans of the Baltic as well as the North Atlantic. Somewhere in the Eastern Sea, such as the island of Gotland, an area remained free of ice, and a group of the first Arctic culture must have survived, because the immigration to Fennoscandia appeared immediately after the ice has gone. Very quickly, population spread to cover all of Fennoscandia, as well as Western Russia, Denmark and England. Less than 500 years after the ice mass rushed off the Scandinavian peninsula, we find the Arctic man all along the 4,500 kilometers coastline of Norway, as well as in Sweden, Finland and from the Baltic to the Black Sea. Much later, this population became mixed with tropical immigrants in Russia with Persian, Greek, Jewish and Gypsy immigrants, and in Europe with Roman, Iberian, Jewish and Gypsy immigrants. Only the Scandinavians and the Basques stayed genetically stable, and today they represent the two of the oldest populations of Europe, more than 9,000 years old. Dr. M. Richards, European Genome Project, comments: cultural waves and counterwaves. According to Plato, the people who entered Thura, the Pillars of Heracle, as well as the true white brother that came to Mesoamerica, were pale, or shining sun-tanned, tall, bearded with green-blue eyes, flying over the waves on vessels that were built like of bird feathers. Just for the record, they still build the local ships in this manner in the fjords around the Scandinavian peninsula. Unfortunately, all of the originally natural scientific philosophic cultures of the old Eurasia were evidently conquered by an esoteric abstracted philosophy way of living. Greek-Arabic fanatics finally overpowered Russia as Vatican warlords were laying waste to the old European culture, plundering their treasures and taking all available resources. During the darkest Middle Ages, all memories of Eurasia's own Arctic past was ruthlessly stigmatized as heathen, barbaric, or primitive. Consequently, most traditions, institutions, as well as the skills and knowledge such as sagas and stories were banned, destroyed and extinguished from the face of the earth. It was similar to what later occurred to the Red Indian of North America, who during the 16th century was defined as an animal, even that by God's one and only representative on earth, and his co-operators in Italy, Spain and Portugal. As we know, bestiality, deception and superstition became political tools, and during the Dark Middle Ages they became more the rule than the exception. When some warlord or tyrant could benefit somehow, even simply to get an ego burst, powerful people would damage, torture and burn people alive. To gain a piece of gold or silver or the grace of the Holy See, people could massacre a village or a city. There have been examples in which the religious leaders launched campaigns spanning several years, slaughtering innocent civilians by the hundreds and thousands, torturing, devastating and even terminating a whole ethnic society in their culture, just to cover up the theft of their land, their trade or their cultural treasures. Atlantis. This explains how and when and from where the civilization we call Atlantis occurred, communicated their existence and then disappeared. Now, if one may accept that Atlantis could be an original Nordic word stemming from the Gothic ocean sailors of 9,200 years ago, one may accept that the word, before it became Egyptian Greek, was spelled Atlantis, which in root language, as well as common Swedish, Norwegian, Danish translates to all the land ice. As you may remember from the Pecora project, it seems obvious that the warm water from the Mexican Gulf once was forced to pass Scandinavia through the East Sea and then sipping out into the White Sea simply because a gigantic ice cap between Norway, Scotland and Greenland would not allow it to pass along the coastline of Norway as it had been doing for the past 10,000 years. With the Gulf Stream running into the Baltic Sea and out by the White Sea, we may understand that Fennoscandia once was the one big island Plato tells about. During the ice time, also called Altlanders period, the ice cap once covered all of Russia and northern Europe as well as an area from the southern tip of Norway to the North Sea to Scotland and all the North Atlantic. At that time the Gulf Stream from Mexico could not pass the coastline of Norway but had to turn into the East Sea, over Ladoga and Gore to the White Sea until 10,700 years ago. That is how a small group of people who'd been trapped by ice time could survive in southern Finland during a period when all the other Eurasian land was under massive ice. As the name of the period tells in Scandinavian tongue, all land iced, all the land was ice except for the Gulf of Vinland, Finland, where the stream of tempered water, after passing through the English Channel, hitting Oslo Fjord and passing east to the south of Sweden, kept the beaches of south-southwest Finland green van, wine. This is how the life of the people we find in Sisuala 300,000 years ago and in the White Sea 40,000 years ago had been saved and could exist by a certain twist of destiny. By the time the Ice Age finally was passing, a small group escaped the melting ice mass by fleeing to the island Gotland by ship. From this small group of Arctic human beings, we know that they called their hideout in Gotland the New Yard nor Snow Tun. By modern DNA tests we can follow these Caucasians, who later populated Fenno-Russia again, as well as Sweden, Denmark, Germany, France and England and via Sweden, Norway, the Orkneys, Scotland Island and the Faroe Islands. Thanks to the Old Norse sagas, verified by modern archaeology, we know for a fact that the Old Norse, together with the Swedish and the Goths, populated Greenland, and the east coast of America down to Vinland Gouda, Virginia. They even visited Haiti and landed Gouda Terra Cuba. Today these are well-known facts, thanks to the Norwegian researchers Helge Danstein Ingstad and the book Westwards Before Columbus 1991 by the Norwegian Cairprides. As of 2002, thanks to modern chemistry, even the runestone from Kensington dated 1362, has been proven real. Nature gifts, descriptive and phonetic writing. Soon after ice time, the original Arctic people in Norse mythology, always called the Æsir, connected with the tropical kingdoms of the Vænar, meaning one Ær, as in one race. According to the Æsir, the Vænar was divided into 10 tropical races, as in rays from a fellow sun. This is how they appeared also in ancient Mesoamerica, more than 9,000 years ago, bringing their necessities for Arctic life, such as corn, seasoning vegetables and livestock. They shared these nature gifts all over the tropical world. Along with the history of all the races' common past and common origin, these Æsir represented a special development. Missing pigmentation, eating meat and drinking milk, etc. The Æsir and their Arctic descendants had developed differently, for good and bad, from all the tropical races. Besides domestic plants and animals, the Æsir carried a very special knowledge around in the world which was inherent in their own language. Based on the roots of the sounds within our natural brain, they had developed a highly sophisticated sound system, that still today can be found within the Nordic language called Swedish Finnruotsi and the Finno-Ugric language called Suomi. As Rot is the only language using 9 clear sounds vocals to their full extent, the Æsir developed a mathematically perfected association system based on the geometric laws of the full circle. This complete association system has one ring of 29 smaller rings called keys or sounds. As the large circle moves around one source of light or vice versa, signs are aspected that represent these 9 key sounds and the 20 combination sounds forming the Nordic writing system, called the alphabet phonetic writing. It was developed into perfection during the age-long ice time when the long harsh winter months required 95% of the hours focused with indoor activities. This implies that these Arctic people had a long history of training mental skills, developing scientific cognition and the degree of its use and usefulness within the functions of nature. After ice time, this started spreading, slowly to Crete and onwards. But many generations passed before everybody had the possibility to exchange all the alphabetic sounds with a complete understanding and a fully developed, clean-cut vocabulary. New paradigms? Well, this has come further than intended. But I hope you enjoy it and see the usefulness of this information in interrelating the petroglyphs recently found off Cuban waters, that is the cultural connection between the Ros and Rusland Russia. The Rus key Rose key and the A Rus key Rose family key, as compared with N A key GIGY 1 Mushio Niving. Since the sound in the letter A represents motion, a rose becomes offspring of being, it induces a sacred or holy holy moment, of giving that any offspring of an origin represents, which is life evolving. It is like the key turns, unfolding in the harmony of the rose, which constitutes the word Etruscans, as it written in today's commonplace English. If one wants to understand the sounds behind the Etruscan writing system or the Linear C, one should most likely check on the Old Russian language, combined with the knowledge which survived in Friesland and the Oira Linda Boek, the oldest book in Europe, which describes an ancient Celtic writing system phonetic, of course which the Gothic knowledge validates, like the one recently described in the interview with Ms. Zielinski. Another interesting synchronicity is that the Oira Linda Boek was not known until the first translation into modern Dutch, which was reviewed in an English book, published in the 70s, by Robert Scruton, called The Second Atlantis, which argues that Atlantis is the sunken floor of the North Sea. This was evidently a populated dry land some thousands of years ago and the best candidate around until the story about a 450,000-year-old culture which 10,700 BP was overrun by an ice cap that is frozen water, destroying their homes and palaces, as well as raising the ocean level drastically. After surviving the cataclysmic end phase of the ice time in the caves of Gotland, the descendants of the Æsir migrated about 9,300-400 years ago to the Black Sea, where they built a palace and a city called Ishov Temple of Æsir, where River Don meets the Æsir Sea. According to the Icelandic sagas, This is the original home of the Æsir, also called the gods of the Vikings. The problem with this terminology is that the Vikings did not have superstitious or metaphysical idols. 2. Together with Per Lillestrøm of Sweden, the legendary Norwegian explorer Thor Heyerdahl is presently completing archaeological work in Æsir, following the direction from the Icelandic myths. The excavations have been utterly clarifying and affirming of Heyerdahl's thesis. The ancient cultural elite known as the Æsir and their neighbors the Vanir were not gods but men of high descent, carrying the wisdom of the ages up to the time of the Roman and the Christian culture's conquest of the area. Because of Heyerdahl's discoveries, the University of Rostov is now starting to build a new institute in Æsir to continue Heyerdahl's work and investigate his debated theories. 3. Crete, where they instituted an eastern and a western kingdom of the Mediterranean Sea to establish connections of trade and culture. 4. Egypt and Africa, where they established a kingdom with a rich agriculture, Aeopia, 9,200 years ago, as well as technical skills of irrigation and stone building, etc. 5. The Caspian Sea, where they connected with the Hindus and the Chinese. Current discoveries of stone and clay tablets nearly 7,000 years old contain inscriptions about sailing via Norway to the Indians of Mesoamerica, including the Aztec Coatlan, the Maya, the Indian and the Inca. 6. Throughout the Arctic world, where they populated areas through their descendants, the Vanir established the land of the Rose Rosia and the Men, Sven and Dan, the two brothers of the Odin and the Lord of the Ring, also known as the Prime Elder of the Æsir, later populated Russia, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Scotland, England and France. Their common origin of Odin became known as the King of Kings, or as Alfader, father of us all, as they remembered the original time of mankind, arriving from the first man and woman Frein Freya, Seed I and Seed In. When the war arrived, as the movements of war and more war spread to the Mideast to all of the Mediterranean area, it evidently struck on the Gallic being the Arctic natives of Northern Europe. To the conquerors, becoming the new masters for a new time, the old history of the origin of man and mankind, like the story of the Æsir and the Vanir, as well as the period of Atlantis, their king of all kings, etc. become destroyed, twisted and or abstracted. Finally the authentic history, as well as the natural science and philosophy, become super real, and conserved in the form of written rules and strict regulations called religion. But as we know by now, the impetus for any aggressor like greed, manipulation and cynicism cannot live side by side with a scientific approach to truth, to honesty and social responsiveness or an ethical sincerity within government and culture. Unfortunately, cultures of a higher consciousness are not able to resist when attacked by a well-prepared aggressor. Since beauty is already gone and truth always loses, there is no way for an ethical responsible human being to combine war with a later life in dignity. War kills and everybody involved is part of the killing somehow before the battle is over. Thus everybody is part of the dying. Even celebrated war heroes will feel this death and carry it within for the rest of their lives. That's why killing as any other crime never pays. Although this is what trigger happy ignorant people or greedy politicians, or both, still want us to believe. Once one has been killing it does not matter, it's quite easy to do again and then it becomes easy. Eventually it becomes some kind of morbid entertainment. Mercenaries and veterans become more sick, and after a limited time at home they search out a new war, to be in on a mission, serving a purpose. Then the bottom line boils down to a culturally induced vision, of another mass of idiots to kill, that turns into a habitual need of monstrous proportions. This is a high price to pay for humankind, simply so that a limited number of men shall feel a momentary fulfillment of a culturally invoked need. Only a rose is a rose is a rose. As any stone can break any rose, so can any dumb murderer kill a genius, artist, honest farmer or hard-working craftsman. Likewise could the well-trained Roman armies march straight over, slaughtering and burning villages, cities and the cultural societies of ancient England, Germany and France, before taking on Poland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway and Finland. After more than 1,000 years of warfare, the new Roman tyrants, now dressed as cardinals around a pope, succeeded to conquer the whole of Europe. However, did this mean that their culture was superior to the old one? The final victory came in the Crusade of 1049-51, when more than 30,000 Catholic mercenaries invaded Uudenmaa, the capital state of southern Finland. Here they located and destroyed the oldest temples known to exist in the Old World, the temples of Asgard, the original home of the Æsir. Slaying or burning all inhabitants and destroying every trace of the heathen culture, they effectively annihilated the most holy of lands for all Arctic people, the land of Odin in the center of Atlantis, where the culture had managed to adapt and survive ice time. Moreover, our Arctic ancestors had also managed to develop themselves and their culture, enhancing the skills and abilities necessary to connect with all the other races of the globe and to recreate the long-lost unity of all mankind. That's probably why our old Norse myths point to the rainbow as the bridge to Asgard. Who believes in Santa Claus? According to recent studies, the folk traditions of celebrating Christmas, Easter and Midsummer all revolve around the old pagan world, which has been developing in one clear line of descent from the earliest time of rock carvings. A Dutch researcher writing about the true homeland of Santa states that the contemporary custom of the historic old heathen Santa Claus is actually the man of Odin, the prime elder of the Æsir, the historical Odin Votan, dressing in the well-known old-fashioned dress code of Saint Nicholas from ancient times. His mission is still to ignite the annual, worldwide celebration of the life wheel, the tree of light and the succession of family and mankind.